Our gospel reading is from Matthew 4, verses 12 through 24. Listen for the word of God. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As he went on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Awed that James, the son of Zebedee, was with his father, whose name was Zebedee. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your word and for your kingdom coming into our world. We pray that you will help us hear the word you have for us this morning and to obey. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are on our third message in the series on the Lord's Prayer. We're at Thy Kingdom Come, and why we're calling it God's Good Road, we will see in a minute. When George suggested I do a series on the Lord's Prayer, that line, "Thy Kingdom Come," was really the only thing I had anything to say about at the time. I think I've talked about this before. I don't remember exactly what had gone horribly wrong in the world, but I remember sitting in Faith Presbyterian Church in Colorado Springs, and when we got to the part of the Lord's Prayer that says, "Thy Kingdom Come," I was just like, yes, I need that. We need God's kingdom to come because the way things are can't continue. In a rarity, an exciting rarity, I have an outline this morning. We're starting with the state of the world in our day and then in Jesus' day. We're going to talk about God's response. That's part two. We're going to look at a little bit at kingdom in the Bible and kingdom, which you may have heard Kristen say and was part of the prayer of confession. And God's good road, and then we'll talk about living it out, and then we will wrap up like we have throughout this series by praying a different version of the Lord's Prayer than the one that we are accustomed to. Don't worry, we will pray the traditional version when we get to prayers of the people. Let's get started. The state of our world. Perhaps you have turned on the television in the past little while, or opened social media, or any of any number of things that you could do to find out what's going on in the world. To speak only of how I've bumped up against it recently, this past Monday was Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which meant that daycare was closed, but Kristen and I both still had to work. So it was like, what? So we have this complicated relationship with childcare. We're really grateful to have it, but it's just not always available when we need it. Or like, the kids were off of daycare for 2 weeks, but I only have 1 week, took 1 week off for Christmas break. It was like, so who's got to watch the kids? This is just my own personal annoyance. But like, if you look at it, it feels like we're supposed to be getting further and further ahead. The world is supposed to be getting better and better, right? A little bit, but it's not. I've seen some of your posts on Facebook about, you know, what it was like for you growing up and how you could just go out in the street and go play from the time the sun came up until the sun went down and the streetlights came on, and you had to come home and go to bed. And, you know, I just go, I don't think we live in that world anymore. And there's so much that it seems like used to be better. You used to be able to buy a house for a lot less than you could buy one now. College education was a lot less expensive. And this isn't like a lecture on how the good old days were better, because there is no time in history that I would rather live than now, to be clear. Just for the medical advances alone, you go, oh, those were really great times. And people were dying of a lot of things that we can cure today. Like, my kid was born with a birth defect, and I think a century ago, he would not have made it. So it's just been challenging, right? And we just keep getting further and further apart from each other, I think. We live in literally apartments. We drive cars around all the time because our country was designed to create dependence on cars. And like, have you seen the price of eggs lately? And I just keep thinking about all of the stuff that's not right, the stuff that you turn on the news, and even the bigger stuff. You see factories that used to employ whole towns at fair wages just getting shut down and moved to Mexico so they could get a little more profit. There's still a lot of hard stuff in the world. It's hard to be a human in our world today. It's easier maybe than it has been at any time in history, but it's still really hard in a lot of ways. One of my friends, Eric, who posted a meme that said, "This month I'm doing something called January. I try to make it through every day in the month of January." But like I said, you've seen the news. You know. There's trouble in our world. But things were terribly wrong in other ways when Jesus walked the earth. Israel, Jesus' country, was occupied by the brutal empire of Rome. Their taxes went to support an army that was occupying their country. And if you thought a little too loudly that maybe this is not the world the way that it's supposed to be, they could arrest you, whip you, and execute you, and do it with just a sham of a fair trial. Apparently, the governor could just say, kill him. Because we know that's what happened to Jesus. But Jesus responds to this world, this idea of the world, though the world is not as it should be, with this idea of the kingdom of God. And over this past week, I looked up every time Jesus talks about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven in the Gospels. It was really interesting because Jesus doesn't actually describe the kingdom of God. Did you know that? It's super fun. At least not in political terms. There's no explanation of like the governance works. Some of my friends on Facebook are like, Jesus was a socialist. And as tempted as I might be to agree with that, there's no endorsement of any economic system. Jesus never endorses any economic system. There's no system of government. There's no executive or legislative or judiciary. There's no constitution in the New Testament. None of that. And while there's bits and pieces of specifics that come in, like he says, it's a kingdom, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the poor, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it's harder for a rich person to enter heaven than to stick a camel through the eye of a needle. Or Jesus healing the sick. When Jesus goes out, he heals the sick and says, the kingdom of heaven has come near. So that's a sign of the kingdom. You see people who are acting as gatekeepers to the kingdom. Jesus says, no, you are keeping out people who want to go into the kingdom, and you're not going in yourselves. And honestly, I think a lot of it is left to the imagination, an imagination that's shaped by the law and the prophets of what the world would look like, how it would be better if God were in charge, if we all loved God and our neighbor. And I think if we can imagine a world that's better, a world that's more filled with the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If we can imagine that, we can start, I think, to get a picture of what Jesus is talking about when he talks about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. One person in our Tuesday morning Bible study, which, by the way, is fun, somebody asked about why did the disciples just drop their nets and leave? And if you want to learn more about that, ask me after the service because it's not part of the sermon. But someone else asked if the kingdom of God is like the rapture or what happens at the time. And that was a good question because that's a common way of thinking about the kingdom of God. It's, you know, God comes back and sets everything right. But what we see throughout, especially in the book of Matthew, it starts with John saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Not that the kingdom of heaven is coming at some point in the long distance, but the kingdom of heaven is already close. Or when Jesus comes in, the first thing Jesus says is, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven has come near." And then Jesus sends out his disciples, and they say, "The kingdom of heaven has come near," and they're casting out demons and healing sickness. But then Jesus asks his disciples to pray for God's kingdom to come. It's as if that the kingdom has come near, but it's not as near as it could be. The kingdom of God is the world set right. It's that, oh, I didn't mention shalom. I didn't talk about shalom. Shalom. Y'all heard that word shalom? It's peace, but it's not just peace. It's wholeness. It's the world set right. Shift gears and get to that. That was kingdom in the Bible. We're at kingdom. You may have noticed that earlier, like I said, but I've seen it. It shows up also at presbytery meetings. Some of us who go there have noticed that there are places you'd normally see the kingdom of God. You see the kingdom of God. So I did some digging because I was like, where is this coming from? And found this in an article by Diana Butler Bass, Christian historian. Noted theologian Ada Maria Esazi Diaz recalls originally hearing kingdom from a friend who was a nun as an alternative to the language of kingdom, a word fraught with colonial oppression and imperial violence. Jesus, she wrote, used kingdom to evoke an alternative order of things over and against the political context of the Roman Empire and its Caesar, the actual kingdom and king of its time, end quote. So it's imagining a different world is possible, but it's imagining it with a framework of that word kingdom, which sort of implies the present condition. It implies that there's a king. And to say kingdom goes, well, maybe we can imagine a world where that's not the way it is. Because we're used to a certain kind of world, a world where powerful people are in charge and the rest of us just kind of down there below them. But when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he's imagining a radical new way of that the world working, where Caesar's no longer in charge and there is no Caesar. And the other thing I found fascinating in that article, Diana Butler Bass says, she quotes theologian Janet Soskis' work on Julian of Norwich. Julian called Jesus our kind Lord, K-I-N-D-E, Lord. Janet Soskis says, in Middle English, the words kind and kin were the same. To say Jesus is our kind Lord is not to say that Christ is tender and gentle, though that may be implied, but to say that he is our kin, our kind. Another way to read that is, where did that one go? Missing the slide. All right. Another way to read that idea of a world radically different, the kingdom or kingdom of God, how it's different from the one the people of Jesus' day was used to, and maybe even the one we're used to. I found it in this. This is the First Nations version of the New Testament. When I started putting together this sermon series on the Lord's Prayer, one of the things that I wanted to do was look at alternative versions of the Lord's Prayer. One of my favorite versions was by Native American pastor Terry Wildman. He worked with a translation council of Native American pastors, theologians, and put together this translation, the First Nations version. Over the years, the American government and various forces within the United States have worked to try to eradicate Native languages, and that worked so well that when they said, we want to translate the Bible into a version Native people can read and understand, most people don't speak the Native language of their people, and even fewer can read it. So they translated it into English with and translated into Native ideas. The thing is, when we read the Bible in English in America, we might not notice that not only have the words been translated, the ideas have also been translated and shaped by our culture. So they settled on the phrase, God's good road. And I want to read that to you. Today, many First Nations people speak of the good way, or the red road, as a way to understand a way of life that seeks to live in harmony with the Great Spirit's plan for all of creation. To live in harmony with fellow human beings and all of creation could be called walking the good road. With the advice of some of our Native American friends and insights from prominent American Indian theologian George E. Tinker, we have chosen to translate Kingdom of God as Creator's Good Road. Creator sets free, which is how they translate Jesus' name, came to call us to walk in a new way, a way of beauty and harmony that reflects the government of God or heaven. To walk with Creator sets free, Jesus, is to be on this path. God's good road. Something that we need to remember when we're praying is that it's not necessarily always about convincing God to do stuff. Some of it, I've found, is about shaping our desires. So when we pray to God, thy kingdom come, it's partially asking God to send God's kingdom or God's kingdom or to lead us in God's good road, but it's also partly shaping us to want God's kingdom. I found a Facebook post from January 1st about a guy who invited a Buddhist monk to speak to a senior elective class. He walked in, didn't say a word, and he wrote on the board, "Everybody wants to save the earth. Nobody wants to help mom do the dishes." I found out that was by P.J. O'Rourke. And then he said to the students, "Statistically, it's unlikely that any of you will ever have the opportunity to run into burning orphanage or save an infant. But in the smallest gesture of kindness, a warm smile holding the door open for the person behind you, shoveling the driveway of an elderly person next door, you've committed an act of immeasurable profundity because to each of us, our life is our universe." End quote. And there's so much to do. There's so many places and ways that the world is broken. And if you're not sure, you could just turn on the radio or the TV. I heard two stories of the way the world is broken on NPR on my way in. There was another shooting somewhere. Don't remember the other one. But we have to know two things. One, we can't fix all of them. And two, we can do something about some of them. When we pray that asking God, thy kingdom come, bring your good road to us, we're asking God to help us be a good citizen of the kingdom and to walk that good road. There's so much that we can't do. I can't stop climate change, but I can make decisions that mean that I'll cause less of it. Did y'all see that? I know I've mentioned George twice now. Did y'all see the post that he put on Facebook? There was a comic, and the guy's like, "I'm using a really cool new way to do my to dry my laundry. It's a combination of wind and solar, and it's just clothes hanging out on the line." I can't end the systemic poverty, not by myself, but I can try to tip better. There's so much. I can't beat back sexism by myself, but I can show my kids and my friends that dad cooks and does laundry and works to take care of the kids and plays with them, well, ideally as much as mom does. I'm working on it. I can't make the whole world more accessible for people with disabilities, but I can turn on captions where they're available. And I can be grateful that we have an elevator. I can't end systemic racism, but I can try to learn more about how it works and eradicate it in my own heart, and advocate for policies to undo the policies made by racist dead people and read books by black authors and black theologians. I can't make the world better at repenting or forgiving, but I'm part of the world, so I can practice repentance and forgiveness. For me to work for God's shalom, for God's wholeness and peace, I can start working for it in myself. And when I pray, "Thy kingdom come," I can try to imagine the world being different. I can't end war, but Shane Claiborne has said the end of war begins with people who believe that another world is possible and that another empire has already interrupted time and space and is taking over this earth with the dreams of God. Or more simply, from a guy I follow on Facebook, Andre Henry, he has a shirt that says, "It doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way." And if you don't know what to do, or if you don't have the time or energy to make those changes, there's one thing pretty much all of us can do. We can pray. We can pray, "Thy kingdom come." So, this next week, I'd invite you, as you happen across bad news and turn on your radio, hit pause, or if you can't pause, turn the volume down for a second and just say, "Thy kingdom come, O God, on earth as it is in heaven." And then listen to hear whether God might invite others, or God might be inviting us to help usher in God's good rule. Because it doesn't have to be this way. Because another world is possible. Let's pray the prayer. That's where I put that. The prayer of Creator Sets Free from the First Nations version. It's going to look a lot different than the one you're familiar with, but let's go with it. Let's pray. O Great Spirit, our Father from above, we honor your name as sacred and holy. Bring your good road to us, where the beauty of the world above is reflected in the earth below. Provide for us day by day the elk, the buffalo, and the salmon, the corn, the squash, and the wild rice, all the things we need for each day. Release us from the things we have done wrong, in the same way we release others for the things done wrong to us. Guide us away from the things that tempt us to stray from your good road, and set us free from the evil one and his worthless ways. Your good road, with its great power and beauty, shines like the sun to the time beyond the end of all days. Amen.